Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank thee for thy word, which is as a light shining in a dark place. We pray it may illumine our hearts, magnify the grace and love of God, and edify our souls. For Jesus' sake, amen. The theme of these first 11 verses of chapter 5 are the astonishing blessings that are ours who are justified by faith alone in Christ. Remember how Paul worked up to this? Just a brief review. In the first chapter, he showed the Gentile world is guilty before God and lost without a Savior. And he showed in chapter 2, the Jewish world is guilty before God and lost without Christ. And in chapter 3, he showed how that salvation can be obtained, which is by faith in Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. Faith plus nothing is what justifies. He reminded us that Abraham before the Jewish law, 400 years before the Jewish religion, was justified by faith alone. 1,000 years later, David under the Jewish law and Jewish religion was justified by faith alone. And so faith, Paul proves, has always been the only way God has ever justified a sinner. And having proved his point about justification by faith in Christ being the only way of salvation for anyone in the world, he now comes to enumerate some of the great blessings that justification by faith provide. Now let's begin with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Now, what this means is not that you are at peace with God. It means God is at peace with you. Because God is not at peace with the sinner. Some people think God loves everyone. What do you mean, peace with God? Everybody's at peace with God. But listen to what God himself says. God is angry with the wicked every day. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. So no, God is not at peace with those who are outside of Christ. He's at war with them. He's a God of perfect holiness and justice. And that such a God could be at peace with ungodly, lost sinners like us is a marvel of love. I'm just glad that we have all of eternity to thank him for it. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus on the cross instead of on his elect. And the result is his elect can have peace with God because his wrath against your sins has been satisfied. Now, if you know that God is at peace with you through Christ, the result is you will feel at peace with him. And so this peace with God works both ways. First, it's God being at peace with you because of what Christ did. And secondly, is your reaction to that is you feel peace in your heart with him. And Paul says this peace we have is through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by anything that you have done. It's not by anything in you. It's not by the work of Christ in you. It's by the work of Christ for you. Now, there are people who have a false peace because they're trusting in their own righteousness. I run across them all the time. You do too, I'm sure, if you witness to people. Man told me the other day, I'll be okay. I'm a good person. I mean, it's predictable. That's what everyone says. It's like the devil has them programmed. He probably has some kind of peace. My brother was witnessing to a woman quite a while ago, and he said, well, what about judgment day? What about your sins? She said, God will wink at my sins. That was the source of her peace. Only those who rely not on themselves but on Christ alone have the true peace with God. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because we have justification by faith, we have access to a state of grace. That means a state in which all your sins have been taken away. And this is not a precarious state, this state of grace. It's a state in which you stand. And stand means steadfast. You can remain in it. You will remain in it. You may remember when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And Kuwait was what in colonial days would have been called a protectorate of the United States. Not a colony, but we had a military pact to protect them. And President George Herbert Walker Bush said, this will not stand. And that's what the word means here. But here it says we do stand. We stand because God makes us stand. You can never fall from a state of grace if you're truly in it. By the way, I don't know how many of you know how I won that war. When we went to war with Iraq in the first Gulf War, I was an Army officer, reserve, and I volunteered for active duty. I reported to Fort Dix on Sunday night. On Wednesday, Saddam Hussein surrendered. But in any case, the saved person who is really saved stands. He'll never fall away, not because of his own steadfastness, but because of the faithfulness of Christ who will keep you in that state of grace. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. You have peace with God. He will keep you in a state of grace. And your reaction is you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That means the hope of heaven. Aren't you glad you're looking forward to heaven? You know, I'm just so thankful to God that I know my Vicky is in heaven. And I'll see her again. I have a lot of friends there. I'll see them again. And I know my life isn't just about this world. It's going to a better world. We rejoice in the hope of heaven. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Even in tribulation, we glory in the fact that we have them. The tribulations are grievous, but at the same time, you can glory in them. You can be sure when you're in tribulation, if you're justified by faith, that it is not God's wrath. God's wrath is never on his children. It's never on the elect. It's never on the saved. His fatherly chastisement is, but not his wrath. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary when he correcteth. For whom the Lord loveth, he also correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So even when there's chastisement from God, it's not an expression of his wrath, it's an expression of fatherly care. And then there is the tribulation that comes for Christ's sake. Jesus says so much about that. Blessed are those when men shall revile you, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Blessed are the persecuted. When the apostles were beaten by the Jewish council, they departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. And patience, experience, and experience hope. The trials of this life, if you're a Christian, are educational. They produce experience, and experience confidence. When they asked David why he was so confident of killing Goliath, he said, well, when I was a shepherd, I killed a lion and a bear. Experience. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The hope you have will never be ashamed. It will never be disappointed. It's, you could say, a sure thing. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is not your love for God. This is God's love for you. And it comes not like drops of dew, but like a mighty stream. It fills your being with the peace and the presence and the sense of God's love. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When you had absolutely no spiritual strength to take even one step to God, and when you were ungodly, Christ died for you. And here again, we had that word ungodly. We saw that in the last chapter. Saving faith is believing, Paul says, that God justifies the ungodly. Chapter 4. Now that means two things. That means believing, first of all, that you are ungodly. Not that you're good enough, if you've done enough, but you're ungodly. But secondly, believing that even though you are ungodly, Christ can justify you by faith. And here it says, he dies for the ungodly. The whole human race is ungodly, but those who admit it and turn to Christ will be justified of all their sins forever. For surely for a righteous man, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. By righteous man, Paul means someone who is basically a good citizen, not necessarily a friend. But the good man is somebody whom you can love, a friend. It's even possible that someone could die for a friend. But that's not how it is with Jesus. He dies for his enemies. Like you and me. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commends his love. He displays his love. In that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He died for you when you were ungodly. He died for you when you were a sinner. And why did he do that? Says because he loved you. You know, it's a perversion of the gospel to say that Jesus died to keep the wrath of God the Father from you. The Bible says God loved you and sent his Son to die for you. His Son came to die for you because the Father loved you and sent him. God so loved. The wrath of God is the wrath of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. not just one person. God is one God. And the love of God is love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God the Father loved you and sent his Son for you. The Son loved you and gave himself for you. Paul says, I live by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God the Father loved you. God the Son loved you. God the Holy Ghost loves you. There's one will in the Godhead. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. We all know the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's true. But you know what? You can also say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the cross tells me so. The cross is an amazing display of God's love for you. If you ever doubt the love of God for you, take another look at the cross. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You're justified by his blood. You're justified by his death. You're not justified because of the quality of your faith. You're not justified by your good works. You're not justified by the work of Christ in you. You're justified by something outside of you, the death of Christ for you. And here Paul is arguing from the greater to the lesser. If Christ died for you when you were his enemy, isn't he going to save you for heaven now that you're his friend? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Ungodly, sinners, and enemies. That's when God reconciled himself to you by his death. So now you are reconciled and you will be saved by his life. Jesus died for your sins, but he rose again for your justification. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. And because he lives forever, you'll live forever. We're saved by his life. He is a great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for you. And that is why he is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. And not only so, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The joy of the Lord is a result of justification. The justification by which we have now received the atonement. As far as I know, the word atonement is the only technical theological word that is English and not Greek or Latin. I think it was coined by Tyndale to translate this underlying Greek word. It is three words run together, at one meant. At one meant. Tyndale says, because of justification by faith, we are at one with God. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're at one with him. And so we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the true religion is not gloomy. True religion is joyful. How can you not be joyful when you think that when you were God's enemy, when you were without strength, when you were a sinner, Christ died for you because the Father sent him to do it. Before all worlds, God chose you to be saved. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, for joy is comely for the upright. The psalmist says, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let us pray. Indeed, O Lord, it is no exaggeration that the gospel literally means the good news. What good news it is indeed. The Father loved us, chose us, sent His Son to die for us. That Jesus gave up His life for us and rose again for our salvation. That God the Holy Spirit loves us and sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God. Encourage us, we pray, with these words, and may they spur us to more faith and Christian service. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.